being that it's October and we're going to start touching upon more Disney Halloween cartoons, themed cartoons, really around the basic premise of whether it was a dark, gloomy pumpkin day or you want to get into the occasional fall weather outside. So basically what we have here is a all-time great tale of a classic and quite frankly one of the most confusing cartoons I've ever had to be a part of in my adventure while doing these reviews. All right, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. First off, phenomenal. Altogether phenomenal, but I have a problem with this film and I will get to it tremendously. All right, so, of course, produced by Walt Disney himself, based on The Winds in the Willows by Kenneth Grimane and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. Whew. It stars a lot of people. You have Eric Blore, Pat O'Malley, Colin Canwell, Josh McLeish, Campbell Grant, Claude Allister, a lot of people. So, narrated by Bing Crosby and Basil Rathbone. You know what? I gotta hand it to Oliver Wallace. The music in this film is fucking good. Hands down. Hands down. Even when you see the Headless Horseman, when he is even screaming, phenomenal. It's classic. That, I feel, is the tone and the ideal version of if it was actually happening. So, here we go. We are live on the radio right now. There are no breaks in this one, so this is going to be a long one. So, long one for this particular short film. So, let's go ahead and get to it. All right, production company, of course, we got Walt Disney Productions, and distributed by RKO Radio Pictures, Inc. Release date was October 5th, 1949. Running time, 58 minutes. I lied. That is 68 minutes. 68 minutes. All right, we are getting off to a bad start. Anyway, so here we're going to go. The film pretty much consists of two segments that were first. The first one is based on the 1908 children's novel The Wind in the Willows by British author Kenneth Graham. Let me back up. Okay, the second one, before I go ahead into that, the second one is based on the 1820 short story The Legend of Sleepy Hollow called Ichabod Crane in the film by American author Washington Irving. Two stories. I don't know how the hell they chose these stories to put together, because both stories are completely irrelevant to each other. It's pretty much you just put two random cartoons and stuck it together. We'll get to that in a minute. The film is pretty much the 11th Walt Disney theatrical animated feature and is the last of the studio's package film era of the 1940s. So in the 1940s, they had package film deals, which were multiple short cartoons packaged into one, such as Saludos Amigos, The Three Caballeros, if I pronounced that wrong, my bad. I'm thinking, like, literally off the top of my head. I just have notes jotted down, so bear with me. Make Music Mine, The Free and Fun and Fancy Free, and Melody Time. Those, to my recollection, were the ones of the packaged era, which, again, are multiple films put into one and combined through, whether it was added features or bonus scenes, they're all in there. All right, so the beginning of 1955, the two portions of the film were originally separated, and as a part of the Disneyland television series, they were later pretty much marketed and sold separately in home video. So it's, again, I don't know where the marketing came into this. I don't get particularly where this follows. I'm having a hard time when I was watching it trying to understand, like, all right, well, this is kind of different. So it's up in the air. Like I said, you got two segments. You have the Wind in the Willows, and we'll talk about that first. This story is pretty much set in London, England, I want to say around 1908 and 1909. So from probably August 11th to January 1st. The protagonist in this film, you have J. Thaddeus Toad Esquire, is introduced as he's an adventurist. It's as simple as it gets. He can never count the cost, so pretty much he makes his money, he spends it, he blows it, destroys stuff, refuses to pay for it. That's Mr. Toad in a fucking nutshell. So, Toad's adventures, and you know what? He constantly is... It's like he's got ADD, but I don't know. He's like obsessed, but he drives him nuts. It becomes something. It's weird. All right. So pretty much Mr. Toad is now in this point of bankruptcy, and then his friend Angus McBadger volunteers to pretty much try and do the bookkeeping to try and help keep Mr. Toad's estate while Mr. Toad fucks up the community. Essentially, yeah. So one day McBadger asks Toad's friends Ratty, a water rat, and Moley, a mole, his two closest friends, to persuade Toad to give up the latest mania of reckless driving about in the countryside in his horse and a gypsy car. So literally, he is driving a horse and just blowing through everything in his path. Doesn't care, is completely reckless, and then comes across a motor car for the first time, and he's absolutely in love with it. His new hobby becomes motor mania, and just wants to constantly drive and destroy everything in his path. I don't think the destroying was deliberate, but it comes down to it. He's literally, at this point, fuck it. It is what it is. So to cure Toad's new mania, Ratty and Molly pretty much put Toad under house arrest. Doesn't work. Toad fucking escapes, and this is where the actual story gets, here we go. So Toad is unaware of the fact that he doesn't have any money. He doesn't really pay attention to that stuff. He's kind of aware of it. You know, Angus McBadger's taking care of it. So there's a lot going on. So pretty much, all right, Toad is under house arrest, and however, Toad escapes and is later arrested and charged with car theft. Now, that sounds like, okay, getting to know the character, you're like, okay, well, I guess he would steal it because he's really obsessed with what he's doing. But that's not Mr. Toad. That's not who he is. Mr. Toad would never steal. What he would do is try and bargain and give up something for that particular item. So that's more him. So at this trial, Toad represents himself and calls on his horse, Cyril, Proudbottom, as his first witness. Now, Cyril, whatever the fuck they call him, is funny as hell. He testifies that the car which Mr. Toad was accused of stealing was the very same one that had already been stolen by a gang of weasels. Now, the weasels, if anybody doesn't know, are the same. This is the first appearance by the weasels in Disney history. This is hands down, well, let's say the first appearance, really, but it's a big notoriety for them. They have been in Roger Rabbit and House of Mouse, just to name a few. So you see them throughout all Disney lineage and history. So pretty much, the weasels are being led by a bartender, or like the town, he's pretty much the town bartender. So, Mr. Winky, and Mr. Winky is supposed to be, like, this cool-ass dude, but you find out he's full of shit. Mr. Winky falsely testifies that Toad had to try to sell him a stolen car. So, pretty much, he said, whose car is this? I want it. I'm gonna give up my estate for it. And Mr. Winky is now just trying to scam Mr. Toad. Because the car was not his, and that's it. So Mr. Winky now has the fucking deed. He has the deed to Toad Manor, and it kills everything. So Mr. Winky, as a witness to the agreement, however, when told by Toad to pretty much tell the court exactly what happened, Winky falsely testifies that Toad had to try and sell him this stolen car. Toad is found guilty, and on the spot of a sentence to about 20 years in the Tower of London. Toad's friends make every effort to try and appeal his case, but at any point that they really try, they did. They mistrials, and they tried to reopen the case several times, but no go. So that Christmas Eve, his horse, Cyril, visits Toad disguised as his grandmother, which is, again, classic cartoon humor, any just comedy humor in that. So you got that. You got him trying to escape while giving him a disguise at this point of her own, or of his own, really. Meanwhile, McBadger discovers that Winky is the leader of the Weasel Gang, and that they have indeed taken over Toad Hall. Toad, whatever you want to call it. Winky himself is now in the possession of the deed, knowing that the deed bearing Toad and Winky's signature would prove Toad's innocence. The four friends sneak into Toad Hall. So you got McBadger, you got Mole, Ratty, and Mr. Toad are now breaking into his house. And this is when shit hits the fan. Because you see all these weasels passed out drunk off their ass from partying too much on Christmas Eve. And you got Mr. Winky, who literally looks like, who's the dude in the little game? Like, you, Mr. Wooly or something like that? Or, I don't know, you take the pencil and you got the fucking hair at the bottom. And then you try and put the hair on the face. It's like a magnetic game. I can't think of the fucking name of it at this point. But essentially that's what he looks like. Alright, so the film ends with Toad pretty much regaining his house, while it was implied that Winky and his minions now are arrested and in prison for, I can't even tell you, multiple charges at this point. So pretty much, McBadger, Ratty, and Molly celebrate the new year with a toast to Toad, who they believe has completely reformed. Toad and Cyril recklessly fly past a on a Wright Flyer, like the Wright brothers. It was like a plane. So Toad has not truly reformed and develops a mania for airplanes. I gotta say, the airplane might be a little bit better because it's not creating as much damage as of the cars. But I mean, you gotta think of the, what this man went through. He literally was framed for buying a stolen car that he was told that was somebody else's in exchange for a deed. The deed was kept to the evil guy, and the evil guy is now screwing the Toad over, saying that Toad tried selling him a stolen car. Meanwhile, Toad went into the bar saying, whose car is that? I'd like to buy it. So it's very, very confusing. So quite frankly, I don't blame this guy for going nuts. But that's the story of Mr. Toad right there for, that is the story of Mr. Toad. Let me tell you, it is, this whole segment is based on the Winds and the Willows, and it really, is there a name for it? It's the Adventures of Mr. Toad. It's what you're going to call it at that point. They really didn't specify. Just like when it comes to The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and you're talking about, you know, Ichabod Crane and everything that's going on with it. The second segment is based on The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Although the film introduces, the stories, Ichabod Crane, later individual releases retain the story's original title as a short story. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was originally published in a sketchbook with other stories, not as a single volume as pictured in the film. So the film actually starts off, and that's what I wanted to point out, is they're telling these stories in their own variations and their own versions. So you have this live-action shot of what it looks like of a library, and these two books are coming forward at separate times to say this is the story that we're reading next. So October 1790, a lanky man by the very charming fellow arrives in Sleepy Hollow, New York, a small village. A small village north of Tarrytown and New York City. I've been to Sleepy Hollow, gone snowboarding over there. Great fucking town. Really cool. Definitely enjoy it. It is renowned for the ghost, huntings and just all this paranormal shit. All right, so basically you have this gentleman, Ichabod Crane, is the town's new schoolmaster. Despite his odd behavior and awkward appearance, Ichabod soon wins the hearts of the village women's. I don't know why. He has a way with the women. Just put it at that. You have Bron Bones, who is the roughish town hero. He's essentially the town dick. So he does his best to pretty much beat the shit out of Ichabod in every situation. Not physically, but he just tries to one-up him every time. He tries to bully him around, but however, he is very good at ignoring these taunts and continues to interact with the townspeople. So Ichabod, you gotta give him credit. He doesn't take anyone's bullshit. Ichabod, however, falls in love with an 18-year-old Katrina Von Tassel, who is the beautiful daughter and only child of Baltus Von Tassel, I think that was his name. He's pretty much the richest man in the village. Unlike in the most films, Katrina does not have a word of dialogue in this segment. So it's weird. She doesn't need to. She doesn't need to speak. The motions are doing the talking for her. So despite the fact that pretty much he is falling in love with her, Ichabod mainly, it's weird. It's like he wants to marry her because she's hot, but also because her family has a shit ton of money. Brom, who is also in love with this girl, they fight. They fight over the woman, and they try and take seize of every opportunity they get. Katrina doesn't really give a shit. I mean, she's like just, you know, she seems like a typical, I hate to say it, but she seems like, the way I can describe it, have you ever seen the movie Holes? And you ever seen the part where you have the great-great-grandfather is walking a pig up the hill for Madame Zaroni and trying to win the heart of this woman, and at the end of the day, she doesn't care about the two men, she cares about which pig is bigger. That's, in my opinion, this is who Katrina reminds me of. Because she's like, she's for it both, but I feel like she's leaning towards Ichabod. Anyway, it's a little bit of the side story. So pretty much, you got Brom, who's completely full of himself and is only using Ichabod to pretty much make, Brom jealous and force. This is weird. Okay, let me back that up. You have Ichabod wins Katrina over at every opportunity, although, unknowing to him, Katrina, who thinks Brom is too sure of himself, is only using Ichabod to make Brom jealous and force him to try harder for her affection. So again, a bitch. Alright, so the two love rivals are pretty much, they intend to do everything they can to seize the moment, and it starts off with this Halloween party where Brom tries to sweep a plum from a woman for Katrina, who is dancing with Ichabod, but, comically fails. That's it. While both men dine, Braum pretty much catches Ichabod and tossing salt over his shoulder. So Ichabod is, he believes in superstitions. It makes sense. He decides to sing, and everyone's fucking going about dancing and everything. You see Braum with this heavyset woman trying to, steal Katrina. It's a whole dancing segment. So, and then Braum decides to pretty much tell the story while Ichabod is stuffing his face in fucking food beyond belief, is about the story of the Headless Horseman, who was apparently killed by a cannonball in a recent conflict, and travels each year on a Halloween night to search for a head to replace his lost one. Yeah. Guy tries to find a head to replace his old head. It's okay. All right. Everyone else, including Katrina, find this amusing, while Ichabod, on the other hand, is pretty much fucking scared for his fucking life at this point. He's scared shitless, doesn't know what to do. On his way home from the party, Ichabod literally is getting so paranoid by every noise, every animal, everything he sees, that he's going into the woods. And here's the thing. Wise tales could be true. Old tales could be true. And this is why I got to lead to believe this. Because while traveling through an old cemetery, as he was trying to get himself back home, Ichabod believes he hears the sound of a horse galloping towards him. But it is actually cattails bumping on a log. So it's just like, okay, I'm just hearing things in my head. Pretty much, however, their laughter is cut short because him and the horse are literally fucking going nuts. He's got this, he bought this random horse just to get to the party at this point. So, however, their laughter is cut short by the appearance of the real headless fucking horseman riding in a black horse that shows up, suspiciously identical to Braum's horse. Didn't ever notice that until you freeze frame it and put those two together. All right, but after the ghost gives, they chase him. They go throughout this whole thing. It is one giant chase scene. It lasts about, 5 minutes, it feels like. So all you have to do to stop the Headless Horseman is pretty much go past a bridge and go under a tunnel. So pretty much that stops the ghost pursuit. However, the horseman decides to throw a flaming pumpkin head, which is a jack-o'-lantern, at Ichabod. And he stops. He's literally, you got them on both sides at the end of a tunnel. Fucking hauls a pumpkin to him, and it's like a screaming, I can't even picture. It's just a screaming jack-o'-lantern. That's really it. Hits Ichabod right in the face, and then the scene ends. So the next morning, Ichabod's hat is pretty much found at the bridge next to the shattered pumpkin, but Ichabod is nowhere to be seen at all. So you have the remains of the pumpkin, the horse tracks, no horse, and no Ichabod, and he's completely nowhere to be seen. And then it cuts. It cuts to another scene, and they say sometime a little bit later, Braum takes Katrina as her bride, and rumors begin to spread that Ichabod is still alive, married with a wealthy widow in a distant country with children who all, for some reason, look like him, I guess. And then you have, however, the people of Sleepy Hollow insist that he was spirited away by the Headless Horseman. What I picked up from this is that Ichabod, the nice gentleman he was, got fucking killed, and his girl didn't give a shit, and that was it. She married the bad guy. Ichabod's fucking dead, got killed in the middle of the night, and there was no, that's it, it remains a mystery. And that was the problem I had watching it. I'm like, they just fucking killed him. There's no other explanation other than he's fucking dead. So it blows my mind to say, okay, the tale is true, whatever happened to Ichabod remains a mystery, and we gotta figure out what the fuck's going on. And that's essentially how it ends. It ends in a giant mystery. And you know what? What a perfect way to kick off, whether it's the 13 Nights of Halloween or just October in general, with a good tale. A good tale is that Sleepy Hollow, man, that town, some creepy shit. So the Headless Horseman shows up every Halloween night to try and find a remaining head. But if he got Ichabod's, isn't he done? Who knows? All right. So, yeah. That was it. So we had Bing Crosby, literally the narrator for Sleepy Hollow, and Basil Rathbone for The Winds and the Willows. Again, two cartoons that I necessarily didn't understand why were literally put together. There was a lot of people in this film revolved as voice actors. I gotta hand it to everybody that was in this film. It's gonna take me a while to mention them. I'm not going to, though. But, quite frankly, I gotta hand it to J. Pat O'Malley for the voice of Cyril, the horse. It's that was a good one. That was pretty good. Oliver Wallace is Mr. Winky. Regardless, it's a great film. Whether you package it together or just see it individually, hands down, it's phenomenal. I just want to point out that Pinto Colvig is actually the voice of Ichabod screaming, which I've never heard of somebody being the... Well, he didn't talk. He had a couple of laughs, but just to be credited as just him screaming, hands down, that must have been a really good scream. So, but here's the thing about this. Production about this was actually pretty interesting. In 1938, shortly after the release of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, you had James Bourdieu and Campbell Grant pitched to Walt Disney the idea of making a feature film of The Winds and the Willows. So, with anamorphosized animals and everything, could only be produced using animation. Disney was skeptical, however, Disney felt that it would be corny. Wow. Okay. But acquired the rights in June that year. The film was intended to be a single narrative feature film with the same title, the same name. However, that didn't really turn out. So, but in the early 1940, a basic script was pretty much complete, alongside the songs by Frank Churchill, like I said, were merrily on our way. Although it was intended to be a low-budget film, much like Dumbo, Disney hired the animators from Bambi, which was at that time almost complete, and production had begun in May of that year. Within a six-month period, 33 minutes of the film had been animated. However, the studio's ability to produce a full-length feature film had pretty much been distracted dismally, and it had to do with a lot with World War II, and I can sugarcoat it. So they had drafted many of their animators, unfortunately, to the military and had cut off for foreign release market. Thus, in October of 1941, Disney put production on Winds and the Willows on hold. So in December of 41, you pretty much had Pearl Harbor was attacked, and the government then asked Disney Studios to produce several pro-propaganda films at that point. And you know what? That leads to a bunch of... we'll talk about that another day. All right. So then it comes down to, like I was saying, the U.S. government asked Disney to do this. And during that time, much of Disney's feature output was pretty much so-called package films, which, again, was to make profit. It was making his old films all combined into one. So Disney ceased marketing features films with the single narrative due to the higher cost of such films, as was the drain of the studio's resources caused by the war. So that was the smart thing to do, was to take old classic shorts, package them together, and make them something new entirely. So Disney and his artists felt that the animation of the cartoon... the animals in Winds and the Willows was far below the standards of Disney, animated feature expectations. So they decided to put it, and they decided to put Wind in the Willows would be better off, being part of a package film. Makes sense. Walt Disney started up, production again in 1945. Scenes in Winds of the Willows, such as Toad buying, several cars before his allowance was cut off. Hell, Matt and Rolly visiting him in the sanctorium. Toad making an elaborate escape for his bedroom, and Toad tricking a washerwoman into helping him escape from the prison had not been animated. Those were all scenes that were supposed to be in there. Therefore, in order to condense pretty much the story package, Disney cut these to try and make it a short film. Which makes sense, because I felt the way they did it on the film was actually not bad. They told the whole story and what they needed to. So under the three fabulous characters, they tried to pair up with this. They had Mickey and the Beanstalk and the Gremlins. However, after the Gremlins failed completely to materialize the title, it was changed to the fabulous, two fabulous characters. Then Mickey and the Beanstalk was cut from the fabulous characters in favor of the pairing with the bongo under the Fancy and Free, which was eventually released in 1947. So there is a fucking confusing story about that. They said, okay, we got these three films. We're going to package them together. Wait, one of them doesn't work. Okay, we have these two films. Package them together. Wait, still one doesn't work. So we're going to take one of those films and package them with something else. Then we'll put it together, but then we'll re-release the... Oh my God. Yeah, okay. So they ended up doing that. They ended up having... I'll get into the Blu-ray and DVD releases in a bit. So, they had other segments that were chosen for this film, included, what was the film? All in the Fun, The Brave Engineer, The Brave Engineer was retitled, All in Fun. But these two segments were later released separately with, Pecos Bill being shown on Melody Time, while The Brave Engineer was released on its own short, which The Brave Engineer is pretty decent. All right. Meanwhile, in December of 1946, Disney started production on a new animated feature film, and again, another adaptation of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. However, the filmmakers found that the running time for The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was not long enough to be a featured film and was suited again to be a package film. Finally, in 1947, Walt Disney decided to pair The Winds in the Willows with The Legend of Sleepy Hollow under the new working title, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Fucking hell. What a journey to get to this point. Well-known celebrities, like I said, Bing Crosby and, Basil Rathbone were cast as narrators in order to produce to a massive appeal. The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad was the last of the package films, so Disney returned to single narrative films in the 50s, such as Cinderella, because at this point, you just couldn't fucking take it anymore. Doing these package films, it makes sense. I get why they did it. They had to. Wartime, cut budgets, it was easy. I was efficient, but now since the times have changed, you could make final films. And despite the package feature, Disney continued to produce independent shorts on a regular basis until the mid-1950s. That kind of took a hiatus, and then it pretty much went into all blown-out feature films. 50-50. So, oof. Yeah, there's a lot that went into this. This one, actually, the Golden Globe Awards for Best Cinematography Color. God, I've been wanting to talk about this. Let's get into this. The Mr. Toad segment of The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad was the first screened, televised in edited form and a part of the inaugural Disneyland Anthology series from February 1955 under the title The Winds in the Willows. It was paired with an edited version of The Reluctant Dragon due to the fact that both characters were based on stories by author Kenneth Grahame. And that's it. The Ichabod segment of the film had its televised premiere during the following season of Disney, the TV series of Disneyland on October 26, 1955, under The Legends of Sleepy Hollow. Notably for airing this Sleepy Hollow, and so they had a bunch of reruns, a 14-minute animated prologue was added to this to make it longer and to try and re-encounter the life of Washington Irving's, the author's story. So the prologue, unfortunately, has never been released on home video. So that's kind of bullshit in my opinion. I don't know why they don't just do that. I'm sure it's still there. So The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was released, finally on its own in theaters, a 33-minute featurette in September of 1963. This was the same edited presentation that the Disneyland television series, minus 14 minutes of the prologue, and the Walt Disney live-action host segments. So it was kind of similar in 1978 when the Winds in the Willows segment of the original film was released under in theaters as The Madcap Adventures of Mr. Toad to accompany Disney's feature film The Hot and Hot Lead and Cold Feet, which this is fine. The backstory to this blows my damn mind. Once it was split into two segments for airing the Disneyland television series, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad was not available for viewing in its original form and many years thereafter, but was intended for fucking screening two individual items. When first released on home video, you had the segments retained their names from the Disneyland series, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and The Winds in the Willows. Respectively, they took their names from the original stories. But the problem I saw with that is then that you fuck up the library tremendously. So some of the scenes were cut from the original segments and split up for the home video release. Like I said, The Winds in the Willows, part of the introduction was cut because they added new music. The scene where McBadger confronts the angry townspeople who are suing Toad, which is at the front door, and he leads the he's pretty much telling him to shoo away. And the newspaper scene regarding Toad's disgrace was shortened by removing the newspaper articles of his friends attempting to reopen his case. That was interesting because you actually wanted to pay attention to the news articles to see how often it was. But the only thing that was really changed in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow is the only thing that was cut was the introduction of the bookcases, which makes sense because they didn't need to do that at all. That was just fun. All right, so The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad received its first complete home video release in the UK in 1991 and the US in 1992 when it was released on Walt Disney Home Video on good old Laserdisc. It was pretty much like the competitive to VHS. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. A subsequent complete release on VHS followed in 1991 as the last title of the Walt Disney Masterpiece Collection line. In 2000, it appeared on DVD for the first time as a part of the Walt Disney Gold Classics Collection line. The 1963 theatrical version of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was released on VHS as a part of the 1963 version of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was released on VHS as a part of the Walt Disney Mini Classic series on October 19th, 1990. You pretty much had, it was the same as the Walt Disney Mini Classics line. So you had the 1978 theatrical version of The Winds and the Willows was released on VHS in March 4th of 1994. The same version of The Winds and the Willows was reissued on DVD for the first time in 2009 as a part of the fifth volume of the Walt Disney Classic. The Walt Disney Animated Classics Collection Short Film Series, which, again, is the fifth volume out of, I believe there's nine. So you had, like, Mickey and the Beanstalk, you had the Three Little Pigs, you know, you had that collection. So that's interesting, but it's summed up. It's, they re-released the shit out of this. However, the recent one that I have gotten, and we'll just get to this so we can wrap this up. The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad was released on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD in a two-movie collection with The Fun and the Fancy Free on August 12, 2014. It was also released as a solely on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy combo as a standalone DVD exclusive to Walmart stores only. So, yeah. Yeah. This was a fucking nightmare. Mr. Toad, the Weasels, Ichabod and Katrina, the Headless Horseman, and Tilda were featured as many guests in the House of Mouse as the audience. So you recognize them a lot. You know, a couple of them made appearances in Mickey's Christmas Carol. And you know what? I'll tell you what. The characters go through Disney history. It's just hands down, they're iconic. Very iconic. Like I said, you have Mr. Toad and, you know, Cyril. They made cameos in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And the Toon Patrol was pretty much designed on the Weasels of the film, but I think it's the actual fucking Weasels. So, in 2000, they had the Walt Disney Gold Classic Collection, which was this collection of official release Disney statue and pin merchandise, not to be confused with the Walt Disney Classics Collection, which was the video series of the animated features of the 1980s and early 90s. They literally had the same fucking name, except for gold. For these pin released, they had limited edition statues set. There were figures sold. There were a pair of, you know, they were retired collections. And the value has risen dramatically over each year. On August 29th, 2010, Mr. Toad was released as an annual pass holder vinylmation. That was awesome. On January 13th, 2012, the Headless Horseman was the chaser in the animation 2 vinylmation set. So these are two legendary Disney characters, hands down. Just the history behind this is, I'm out of breath at this point. They are phenomenal. You know, it goes down. It goes down in history. The cartoons, I think, are timeless. They are phenomenal. That's it. That's all I gotta say. That's all I gotta say. And just the animation is just hands down fucking awesome. So, but not to wrap this up, and the last thing I want to say is that Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, the original ride opened in 1955 and is still operating Disneyland today. Fantasyland area, fantastic. It was replaced by the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh in Disney World and the Magic Kingdom, but quite frankly, it's a dark roller coaster in the Disney parks and one of the few remaining attractions that was part of the the inaugural opening of 1955. And you know what? Although the current version of the ride operated in 1983, the ride story is based on The Winds and the Willows. And again, one of the two stories in the film of the Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. And you know what? If you're ever in the California area and you're in Disneyland, just do it. Just do it before something, you know, they take it away. You never know. They never know. They replaced the Magic Kingdom one with Winnie the Pooh. I love the Winnie the Pooh one, but it's just nothing beats a classic, and that's exactly what we're getting at. So, for everybody here at Well Damn Radio, my name is Joe Major, and my review, exactly, for The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, it's the greatest Halloween package, and hands down, the greatest combination of films. That's it. That they could have ever packaged together. So, I enjoyed it. Anybody else, I will show my kids this, and I hope you all do the same. So, if you get a chance to get The Legend on Blu-ray DVD, if you happen to find it with the Fancy and Free, go for it. I don't know if it actually comes with the digital HD. If it does, then more power to it. But hands down, it's phenomenal. All right, guys, we'll see you later for another Major Opinions.